Hello and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And today we're taking you back to Berlin in the 1930s. A new BBC film airing this weekend recreates the life and adventures of the English writer Christopher Isherwood in the German capital. Vincent Dowd looks at why this novelist's vision of Berlin has remained so influential.
Berlin, 1929. A young Englishman alights from a train. At 24, Christopher Isherwood is about to find the material to make his name as a writer. For many people, even now, his Berlin stories form the basis of how they imagined the city to have been just before Hitler came to power.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome.
Christopher Isherwood had gone to Germany to join his friend W.H. Auden, soon to become a famous poet. Both were gay, and part of the city's charm for them was undoubtedly the prospect of sexual adventures. Professor Norman Page has written a study of the two writers' experiences there.
No doubt he wrote excited and exciting letters to Isherwood, and Isherwood followed him there. And after Auden's year was up, Isherwood stayed on, in fact, until the Nazis came. And really, Berlin set the pattern for the rest of his life, because he never really lived in England again after that time.
Isherwood was to write two books looking back on his Berlin days, Mr. Norris Changes Trains in 1935, and later, Goodbye to Berlin. But, as he acknowledged long afterwards, he'd actually been planning a much bigger work.
I originally thought of the book as being called The Lost. I wanted to write a book about all kinds of people who are rejected by society as being in some way scandalous or awful. The word lost meant both astray and also, rather ironically, outcast or improper.
Isherwood took real-life characters he met in Berlin and made them into fiction. Two have had an afterlife. The first Isherwood called Arthur Norris, a charmer but a scoundrel. The real-life Norris was Gerald Hamilton, as he's called in the new film adaptation.
Could I trouble you for a light?
Yes.
You're going all the way?
Excuse me?
To Berlin?
Yes.
Holiday?
I'm hoping for a little more than that.
Ah, yes, well, Berlin has so much to offer in certain respects.
And this is the real Gerald Hamilton talking about Isherwood in 1960.
When he came to write his famous bestseller, Mr. Norris Changes Trains, many friends of mine, and above all many enemies, recognised in the leading character myself. There was also a great deal in this character that was certainly not me.
Professor Norman Page says Hamilton was a gift to a young novelist.
He was a bit of a rogue, an adventurer, who landed up in Berlin and caught Isherwood's novelistic eye. I don't think we know enough about the historical person to judge with any fineness how much distortion, exaggeration, or downright lying there is in the character.
But it's another character who eventually came to dominate our view of Isherwood's Berlin. In 1951, John van Druten wrote a hit play based on the stories called I Am a Camera. It centred on the small-time actress Sally Bowles and her relationship with Isherwood, or on a version of Isherwood devoid of the homosexuality obvious in the original stories. The play became a film and, in 1966, the basis for the hit musical Cabaret.
And now, once again, Fräulein Sally Bowles!
Isherwood said he based Sally Bowles on Jean Ross, an English actress in Berlin. Sally came to enjoy a life independent of Ross and of Isherwood.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum.
But even before the big Broadway and Hollywood makeovers, how like the real Jean Ross had Sally Bowles been? Isherwood expert Norman Page.
It's probably unlikely that it's a very close portrait, but he himself said near the end of his life he couldn't really remember what Jean Ross was like, because the memories of her had been overlaid by all the actresses who played her various reincarnations on the stage and in the cinema and in musicals.
Ross appears as a character in the new film, but by now it's hard to say where she ends and where Sally Bowles begins.
I'm meeting a man in the Adlon for lunch, but he has the most revolting underpants. Oh, Mummy would nearly die if she knew what an old whore I am, but one has to keep that horrid wolf from the door, doesn't one?
As a young man, the journalist Alexander Coburn knew Jean Ross through his family. He said she was nothing like the character Isherwood wrote about.
Jean, when I met her, I liked her instantly. She was a wonderful woman, very warm, gentle in demeanour. Couldn't be more different than the rather teeny character, I would say, portrayed in Sally Bowles. Jean was extremely intelligent, politically very alert and vital. She'd remained close to the Communist Party, and she probably found the portrait painted by Isherwood rather irritating.
The musical Cabaret also added elements of another icon of pre-war Berlin. The show's deliberate musical echo of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht, especially of the Threepenny Opera, paid off. Mixed in with the Isherwood stories, it created exactly what audiences wanted pre-war Berlin to feel like. Seedy, mocking, dangerous and sexy. A modern-day myth was emerging, one Christopher Isherwood could no longer control. Much later, he was asked if it bothered him that his Berlin had been appropriated by others.
Oh, I don't find it maddening at all. Any ruffled feelings that I might have been soothed by checks arriving. Like poultices laid on the throbbing boil of wounded self-conceit.
Professor Norman Page says Isherwood was lucky to have been witness to an epoch which later fascinated readers and moviegoers.
I suppose it's the period that is part of the fascination. I mean, it's a very crucial period in European history. It's a very colourful period in its own terms. And I think Isherwood perhaps was the peg on which this kind of interest could be hung.
Jean Ross died in 1973, having kept her counsel about what she thought of her brash alter ego on page and stage. After she died, Isherwood revisited his Berlin years in a new book, not fiction this time, but memoirs.
40 years later, he writes Christopher and His Kind, which he says is going to be a frank and faithful account of the same period. It's a rather odd thing he's doing. I mean, most writers, when they write subsequent volumes of autobiography, continue the story. What he does is to go over the same ground, this time come clean, which he could do, of course, in the 70s, when the whole public atmosphere had changed, his mother was dead, his personal situation was entirely different.
Auf Wiedersehen!
The city Christopher Isherwood wrote about always was, in part, an invention. In later years, others built on that, with huge commercial success.
A bientôt.
But today, when we imagine Berlin before the Second World War, part of what we see and hear is Christopher Isherwood's Berlin.
Vincent Dowd. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.